Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon and around 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more. But each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." And he said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I'm not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Who did you identify with in this parable? Jesus taught in parables because they challenged the way that we think. And certainly this is a challenging parable, is it not? I mean, most of us, if we're honest, we identify with those first grumblers. This outrageous parable features an obvious unfair labor practice. Does it not? I mean, Jesus is suggesting that God's time clock does not include overtime or part-time or comp time. Full-time workers or single stragglers, they all get the same wage here. I mean, what labor union would tolerate this? And what labor union would hire Jesus to be a labor management negotiator? I mean, would this gospel estate owner, would he find anyone to work for him the next day? I mean, with his employment policy? Probably the ones that, you know, the one-hour workers would be inclined to show up again. But I'm certain that the dawn-to-dusk guys would not. So what is Jesus trying to say in this astonishing story? Upsetting the labor market was no doubt not his intent, as much as it was to upset his hearers' idea of God. And perhaps it upset your idea of God too. What is your idea of God? Jesus joins the prophet Isaiah in today's first reading, where he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." God's thinking is simply upside down from ours. And this should be no surprise to God or to us. I mean, after all, God is infinite and we are finite. We are limited, God is not limited. God is sufficient unto himself or herself, where we have unending needs. And that's why God is better at unconditional loving than we are. So this story is not about a wage dispute. It's a mind-bending illustration revealing the wide and wild heart of God for the 11th hour beneficiaries of the good news. Deathbed conversions find unexpected equality with long lifetimes of faith. Unfair, perhaps. But the parable affirms again that elitism has no place in the kingdom of God. The moral majority can expect no VIP recognition. The failed and the faithful are equally welcome in God's kingdom. There's a French dramatist by the name of Jean Anouilh. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, but Jean. He highlights this theme in a marvelous one-act play about the Last Judgment. And I'll paraphrase the text. The multitudes of humankind are buzzing outside the pearly gates. Who's in? Who's out? And then a rumor spreads that everyone is getting in. The righteous protest, not fair. Jeffrey Dahmer, Adolf Hitler, gets free admission with Mother Teresa and John Paul II. Shameful. Thus, the first become last. My brothers and sisters, God apparently refuses to limit his prodigal mercy, his unconditional love, to our penny-pinching bookkeeping. He must know that much of human life is the mysterious matter of getting the breaks. Some people get more than others do. There's a splendid Gaelic insight that says it all. And that is this. It says, to understand all is to forgive all. To understand all is to forgive all. Saints may have enjoyed breaks that sinners never had. The word grace comes to my mind. Ultimately, the score will all even out, it appears. It's a sad reality that we humans see each other as competitors. Someone else's success is another person's loss, is how we see it. But God instead sees his creation, sees all of us as his co-creators, as his cooperators, partners in this creation project that's been going on for 14.8 billion years now. And like wise parents know it takes time for children to learn about life. So they watch and they wait. The parable confirms God's patience with the human process. God is very patient with us. The words of the vine grower are more a promise than they are a reproof. Petty minds have trouble accepting the excesses of God's affection for what he has created and who he has created, saints and sinners alike. In our myopic view, we believe that reward and punishment is the only way to run the world. But the good news stresses that human beings, all of us, are doomed. We're doomed to the grace of God. There is no exit from it unless you insist. So, let us thank God for not being able to figure God out. Thank God for God's blessed unfairness. We can look forward not to God's judgment, but rather to his, hello, come on in to my big surprise party. I've been waiting for you. You see, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we're all destined. All of us are destined for intimate union with infinite love. That's our destiny. Everyone's destiny. No one excluded. God would have it no other way. Scriptures tell us that God will be all in all, and that's true. But it's true right now. God is all in all. We just can't see it, but it's true.